Wherever we are, God is. You do know that, right? Right? To never be separated from God's love. That's what the Word of God tells us. And sometimes we do get separated, it feels at least, from God because of reality, because of life, right? Because of in the natural very often, and even with the early disciples with Jesus, they did get separated at times. And so we're going to look at that this morning. And sometimes when we're needing God, it seems like he takes a really long time to show up, right? Every once in a while. Do you realize that it took 700 years after Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be born? 700 years went by. What took so long anyway, right? And sometimes when we're in the waiting room of our life, whatever that place might be, sometimes we say to God, what's taking so long, right? Why isn't the answer coming? Why isn't this moment ending? Why isn't this change in me occurring yet, right? And we say, what is taking so long? What took so long, right? Do we not ask that question from time to time? I know that, you know, when I was a kid, Christmas seemed like it took forever to get there, you know, for Christmas Eve and the morning, because I certainly knew I had that one present I had asked Santa for about 9 billion times. You know, I made sure God heard too as well, right? And waiting for that moment seemed like an eternity, right? Some of us are not good waiters or waitresses, right? Oh, no. Anyway, so we're going to look at this morning to help you understand why God sometimes makes us wait. Because there always is a good reason. There really, really, really is. And the next time you're waiting for something or someone or whatever it might be, in the waiting time, my prayer is that you'll be trusting God. So while we're waiting, we are trusting. We'll see how long that lasts, right? Okay, so we're going to go to the book of Mark chapter 6 this morning. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And we're going to begin at verse 45. But before I go there, I want you to know that the preceding chapter, it's about the time that Jesus had fed 5,000 people. So he had performed a miracle above miracles. 2 fish, 5 loaves. He was able to feed 5,000 people. So those disciples witnessed an awesome, wonderful miracle. Everybody and anybody here had miracles happen in your life? You've witnessed them, right? The fact that this church has been here 23 years is a miracle. Trust me on that one. It truly is. God's divine intervention has caused it to remain what it is, a loving, beautiful, awesome place where God's people come. And the name of Jesus is lifted up, right? So miracles happen all the time, right? You see them, we recognize them, we praise God for them. So that's what happens preceding this, what's going to transpire next in the disciples' life. So in verse 45, it says, immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. Afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. So what we see transpiring is this, right? So Jesus sends all the people away, sends them home with a blessing. They got full stomachs. They've witnessed and received exactly what they need. So he sends them home, and he says to the disciples, okay, hop in the boat, go across the lake to Bethsaida. So let me just kind of give you an idea of what this means. First of all, the Sea of Galilee is the lake that we're referring to. It's about 8 miles wide. And they're on the east side, and they're going to head west. It's about a two-hour trip by boat, just so you know. And these guys that are going to be taking this trip are fishermen. So they're great boaters. Got it? In the meantime, so Jesus leaves them. They get in the boat. They head off, right? 2 hours trip. He's going to meet them on the other side. But in the meantime, he goes up into the hills to pray, right? Okay. Now, I have a quick question for you, because I thought about this morning. He tells the disciples, get in the boat, head over to Bethsaida. I'm heading up to the hills to pray, he says, right? How's Jesus going to get to Bethsaida later? The boat's gone. His disciples are gone. To go around the Sea of Galilee would take hours on end to walk by foot. 8 miles, right? Around a lake. Just a thought. Kind of makes you wonder. At least it makes me wonder. During the night, wait a minute. During the night, this is daytime, probably around 6 o'clock, that Jesus says goodbye to all those people he fed. It's going to be 2 hours later, which will be what, 8 o'clock at night, roughly, right, in our time? But we're seeing during the night here. The disciples were in their boat out in the middle of the lake. So hours have transpired. They're now where? In the middle of the lake. Wait a minute. This was only supposed to take 2 hours. All they had to do was cross the lake, an easy, breezy trip, right? But now they're in the middle. What's happening? Jesus was alone on land. He's still up in the hills, right? Probably 6, 7, 8, 10 miles up in the hills, looking down at the lake, right, from a distance. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. Something's happened to the disciples. This little trip of 2 hours has now become what? A crisis, right? I read some things about the Sea of Galilee and what would transpire, and it still happens today, where because that lake is so, it's actually the most shallow lake on earth. It's also the lowest sea level. It's 700 feet sea level. So it's the lowest place on earth. This happened to be this sea. And the hills above it, because of the winds would come off the hills, it would often stir up storms. In fact, there have been times that over the past several years, there have been 10-foot waves and as high as 30-foot waves that actually literally came out of that lake up into the city and actually knocked some homes down. That's the kind of storm that these disciples found themselves in. And it says here they were rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. So the winds come down, the waves are really high. What would have been a two-hour trip, it now says in the very next verse, about 3 o'clock in the morning, we've gone from 6 p.m. to maybe 8 p.m. we're going to land. Now it's 3 a.m. in the morning. It's called the fourth watch. Back in biblical times, there were actually four watches that people would maintain time by, because this is before we had, you know, like Apple watches and things like that. So it ran from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and the sailors used the moon very often to measure that time. 3 a.m. in the morning is very significant because this is the darkest time of the night. Sunrise was going to come in 3 hours later at 6 a.m. 3 a.m. in the morning, so is the darkest time of the night, particularly for sailors. Imagine this, you're in a boat. The wind and the waves are knocking you all over the place, and it's pitch black, and you feel like what? A little on the panicky side, to say the least. And you're struggling and struggling and struggling just to keep the boat afloat, right? Anybody go through life trying to keep your boat afloat? Anybody struggling for hours on end? It seems, right? Right? Hours, days, months, years, right? Struggling. Where's Jesus? Well, he sees them struggling. Next verse. He came to them walking on the water. What? Get a picture of this. 3 o'clock in the morning, pitch black, 10-foot, possibly 30-foot waves. The wind is buffeting the boat. Those sailors can barely keep it afloat. And here's Jesus, just walking on water. I'm just walking on water. What's with this guy? Oh, anyway. He started to go past them. What is with this guy? Wait a minute, we're drowning over here. I'm struggling. Where are you going? Get over here. What are you doing? Can't you see I'm struggling? We're drowning, right? Can you just imagine me in that boat? Oh, man. He starts to walk past them. What's with this man? it's taken him so long to save them, right? Don't you wonder that sometimes with God? What is taking you so long? I'm struggling. And you're going right past me like nothing's happening. Can't you see I'm freaking out? And when they saw him, they screamed in terror, it says, thinking he was a ghost. We're dead. That's probably what they're thinking, right? Would you be expecting, like, Jesus to be walking, like, out to your boat with you? I mean, really? Oh, come on. Let's go to reality for a second, right? Right? We've all had moments in our life where we expect things to be the way we expect them to be, right? And especially if someone gives us a time frame for something, we expect it to be within that time, correct? Am I right? One would think. I mean, these disciples expected to get across the lake in 2 hours. They were told that. They knew that. They made the trip numerous times, right? And we, in all of our walks, we always expect what we think is supposed to happen, right? We put it in our mindset and we say, this is how long this is going to take, right? And then when it doesn't take that long, what do we do? Truth be told. Freak out. But Jesus spoke to them at once. It's all right. I am here. Don't be afraid. Now, you kind of wonder. He does have I hear and see calmness in his voice. It's all right. And then I see an exclamation point in the scriptures. I am here. It's me. I'm here. I'm here with you. I didn't go anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving you alone. I am here. And the next sentence would be, if I am here, meaning Jesus is here, wherever here is for you and for me, what's the next thing he says to us? Don't be afraid anymore. You can calm down too, right? They were all terrified. And he says, it's all right. Now, maybe it's all right that they're terrified. What I love about Jesus the most is that he doesn't badger us. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't say, why weren't you brave? You notice that? He doesn't say that to these disciples, does he? He just says, it's all right. I am here. Don't be afraid. And I want to add a little bit here to say, if I was in the boat, I'd be saying, what took you so long? And you notice that the very next verse, verse 51, it says, then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. They were astonished at what they saw. Yes? He climbs in the boat. Wind stops. Everything changes, right? And in the book of Matthew, there's another example of this same story. And it says in the book of Matthew that the disciples said, truly, you are the Son of God, right? You'd become a believer like instantaneously, right? If that happened in your life, right? Right? But see, many of us are already believers, are we not? Right? So what happens to some of us when we're going through life and we have expectations of X amount of time for something or X amount of things are supposed to transpire that we've marked out, like our expectations, we set them, right? And it doesn't go the way we planned. And sometimes there's disruption. And sometimes what we're told and what transpires doesn't add up. And we begin to do what? Sometimes. Get a little on the scared side, right? Panic, freak out, right? What often can happen to us is our faith gets tested in those moments, doesn't it? And when, after the storm occurs and everything's still and it's all peaceful again, what is it we learn from it? For the next time. Or the next time. Or the next time. Or the next time. Because there's going to be more next times, right? Where something might rock your boat, right? What do we learn from this story this morning, church? Trust. To trust in God. That even though Jesus is up in the hills praying, hours on end, man, that guy could pray. He's up in the hills praying. Remember I asked you, why was he up in the hills and how was he going to get to Bethsaida, right? Remember I wondered that question? See, I think all along, he kind of knew what the future was going to hold. I think he kind of knew, hey, I just did this great miracle feeding 5,000. I want to see where my disciples are in their faith walk. How much more I need to teach them. Because a disciple is a student, right? Which is what we are, right? We're all students of God, right? And we're all learning our spiritual lessons along the way, aren't we? And we see a great miracle over here. And then something happens and we what? Forget the miracle maker, right? Sometimes, do we not? Truth be told, of course. See, Jesus knew all along how he was going to get across the lake. He was going to walk. Wouldn't you? Wow. What kind of faith is that? What makes him so different from us? Maybe the time of prayer he had. Maybe he was in close with God and knew that. But he also knew and knows, and still for all of us, that our faith and trust in God is the most valuable gift he could ever give us. And it's not in the times of ease and comfort and when everything goes our little way and everything's a neat little package and we make our two-hour trip across the lake with a breeze, like kicking back, the wind's at our back, and we're just floating there, you know, having our little Kool-Aid, going across the lake for a couple hours, chatting, having a good old time. Look at the manatees. Look at that. Oh, look at the fishies. You know, we're just going through life, going two-hour little trip to go to the next journey we're on. Do we learn faith and trust there? I'm afraid not, church. That's not where we learn trust. Where do we learn trust? In the valleys. When the boat is rocking, when the wind is blowing, when the waves are stirring, when you think you don't have a chance in life to make it, that's the time in which you have to remember, wait a minute, it's all right. Don't be afraid. God's here. He's got this. He's going to save me somehow. I ain't drowning after all. Right? 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 Amen. They still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of multiplied fish or loaves. Their hearts were hard because of that. So they had to learn a lesson a different way. The interesting thing about what Jesus teaches sometimes, you didn't quite get my miraculous power as the Messiah when I took fish and loaves and fed 5,000. You didn't quite get that miracle. Let me give you another miracle. Let me almost drown you with water and waves. Now do you believe? When you see me walk on water and when I get in your boat, the wind stops. Now do you believe? My prayer is for you and for us. That our faith doesn't have to get tested like that, right? What if we really always know wherever we are, God's got this. And we can have a faith and a trust. And even if it gets a little shaky, we can still remember, it's all right. God's here. Don't be afraid. It's all right. God knows the future. It's all right. God's here. God's here, right? Wherever we are, God's here. Next verse. When they arrived at Gennesaret, on the other side of the lake, they anchored the boat and climbed out. Whew. Man, they probably kissed that ground that day, man. Oh, man, I ain't ever getting in a boat again with, oh, man. Please don't send me on a boat ride anymore. Can you know, well, I'm still a little wheezy. But I got to tell you where this is physically. They were heading to where? Bethsaida. Now, I want to give you a physical idea of where that was. That was northwest. So they were on the east coast. They were heading northwest to Bethsaida. It's right by Capernaum, where Jesus did a lot of his miracles, right? So they're going this direction. You know where they ended up? Southeast. I guess, obviously, in the middle of the lake, somehow the wind and the wave took over, and where'd they end up? Somewhere else. They didn't end up in Bethsaida at all. Uh-oh. Peter and James and John are in trouble. They didn't make it to Bethsaida. And you know what takes place in the very next verse? The people standing there recognized Jesus at once, and they ran throughout the whole area and began carrying sick people to him on mats. This is the why the storm happened. There's a backstory all the time to why God lets things happen in all of our lives, even the storms. They were heading where? Bethsaida. Who needed them? People in Gennesaret, right? Right? It actually means garden of riches. How about that? Yet there's sick people there. And he healed all those sick people. So this little detour, this wind and wave thing that took hours on end, it ended up being a miracle for the people that were waiting there. They get Jesus. And guess what? The disciples get to see another miracle, right? People being healed. So I'm saying that to say all this. Wherever we are on our life journey, there are going to be some zigs and some zags. There's going to be a few storms and some wind and things and waves and all kinds of things. And some things are going to take really, 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 really long. And you might expect it to be really, really, really short. But there's a reason why things are taking long. There's a good reason. Are you hearing me? There's a good reason. It may not be for you. It may very well be for someone else. I'll give you a small example. Becky was in the hospital this week having surgery. We get to the hospital at 5:30 a.m. I woke up about 9:30. They prep her. The nurse says, okay, she'll be going in at 10 a.m. It'll be about an hour, hour and a half. She'll be out by noon. Maybe you can go grab some breakfast or lunch. Just go wait. Cool. I'm cool. Kiss, bye, pray, boom. Go sit down, drink some coffee. And noontime comes along. Sitting there with all the people in the waiting room, waiting for that phone call, because they call and text you now. It's really modern. And I'm looking at my phone and hitting it, making sure it's checking my signals. No phone call. Okay, so something must obviously be wrong with what's going on in the operating room, because they are not taking the time they said they would. So I go out to the front desk, being the person I am, and I say, excuse me, please. My spouse was in the operating room, and it says on that little screen up there that she's still in the operating room. It says ORN. And she was supposed to be out of here by, like, 20 minutes ago. Could you kind of go inside or find out and call somebody and get a hold of a doctor or nurse, whoever it might be, and let them know I'm waiting here, and, like, she's supposed to be out of here by now, so could you kind of go do that for me, please? She looks on the little screen. Well, she's in the operating room. You can go back and wait. Okay. Or you can go have some lunch. There's a cafeteria just down the hall. You can go down the hall. Okay. Well, there were a bunch of people chattering in the waiting room and ducking this, ducking that, and all kinds of things. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I didn't like what was on television, whatever. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll go have something to eat, but I'll bring my phone with me. And I'm, all right, so let's see. It should be 12:30 should be the time. By then, they surely will be done. So I go down, have my nice little lunch, chilling out, kind of, sort of, looking at my phone, checking my phone. Maybe I should go outside because it's not really ringing. Go back to the waiting room. I don't want to be in the waiting room. There's all those people in that waiting room. So I'm going to go, let's see, well, I'm going to walk around the halls. And 12:30 comes and goes. I go back to the front desk. Excuse me, please. I know you're really busy and everything, and I saw on this computer screen it says she's still in the OR, you know, patient number so-and-so is in OR. And like you told me, or they told me at 9:30 that she'd be out by 12, and it's now, it's almost 1 o'clock. Could you kind of check on that for me, please? Looks at the screen. She's in the OR, ma'am. You can go in the waiting room. They will call you. Okay. So in the meantime, I'm like, okay, well, I'll watch this show. And it was a kind of pretty cool show on TV. They were showing Christmas gifts, and I was Googling things and seeing how much it costs on Amazon and doing that, you know, just comparing prices and, you know, keeping myself busy. You know how you do, right? You know how you do that, right? You know how you do that, right? Right, 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 right? You're perfectly calm and you're just sitting there waiting. I know, I'll look up, I'll go up Bible Gateway. Let me read the Bible a little bit. I'll be better if I can read the Bible. I might be better if I read the Bible. So it's like 1:30, 2 o'clock, 2:30. Now I'm going into the front room. Excuse me. My partner, my spouse, my wife has been in that operating room. I'm looking at the screen. You don't have to look at your screen. I just want to know. I know she's in there, but she was supposed to be out 2.5 hours ago. Can you kindly get a hold of a doctor or a nurse and have them call me, please? I'm a woman of faith, and I don't want to lose it right now. They will call you. Have a seat in the waiting room. Now, in the meantime, people are leaving, people are coming out. You know, they're, oh, my family's so good. They're all better. I'm like, really? So it gets to be like 3 o'clock. And I'm like, now I'm getting worried. Because our prayer was that it would be done laparoscopically. But the doctor said it could be done with a cut and a colostomy bag. And that thought ran through my mind. What is taking so long? This isn't good. And then I had that moment of, I can't do this alone. So I text Pastor Jamie. Are you still at work or are you home? Can you please come and help me? She said, I just got home. It's all right. And then my phone rang after the text was sent. Is this Joyce Stone? Yes, it is. She's out of the OR. Everything went well. It was done laparoscopically. But there was another emergency with another patient, so that's the reason why it took so long. Oh, you could have told me that 5 hours ago. So I text Jamie, Pastor Jamie. It's all good. God took care of it. Oh, God. How great is our God. Yay. I'm yelling inside. You see what happens? You see what happens when someone you love, you don't know what's going on, right? You see how easy it is when the storm and the wind and the waves come for even those of us that are pastors who have the faith that it can move a mountain. When it's your mountain, it ain't so easy to move. You got to call for reinforcements once in a while, right? And Pastor Jamie wrote back, God was there with you in the waiting room. Yeah, I forgot, right? How easy is it, right? We have faith. So listen, when your faith falters, God doesn't judge you for that. Know that. And your faith can falter. But why we have a body of believers is that when you're getting a little weak in the knees, there's somebody else you can turn to, a person. And at the same time, simultaneously, Jesus comes walking in on water. And the coolest part of this whole story is this. When I went up to the room to see Becky, there was a woman laying in the bed next to her that was actually there before Becky got in her room, in fact. And she was in excruciating pain. She was the emergency. God showed me and let me see this woman. Her name is Kathy. You can pray for her. She was the woman that needed. She had to have the surgery done twice. Almost didn't make it through the surgery. Same surgery as Becky was having. And she was there in need. She couldn't get her nurse buzzer thing. So I said, I'll go get the nurse. They know me quite well. Excuse me. I know, Becky, right? No, this is another person in the room that needs you. So sometimes in all of our lives, there's something that's a backstory. Remember that, right? There's a good reason why God sometimes make you wait. Because somebody else might need something from God. There might just be another emergency going on in someone else's life or in our life sometimes that God has to step in and help, right? So this morning, even though 2-hour ride became 9 hours for Jesus and for his disciples, he showed up, didn't he? He showed up. So I want you to leave this morning knowing this, that sometimes we might be headed in one direction, and we might think it's going to take X amount of time or energy or whatever the case might be. But if God veers us off into another direction, it's only for a good purpose. One, to help our faith and our trust in him grow. And two, perhaps someone else needs God's help as well. They were headed for Bethsaida. They ended up in a whole other city. And isn't that good for those people where they ended up? So the next time you're waiting for God and you have to ask the question, what's taking so long? Remember the words, it's all right. God is here. Don't be afraid. He's got this. Amen.